Join me in opening your Bibles this morning to the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. We're now progressing to the end of this book that we've been studying for many, many months. These last things are very, very good things. Hebrews chapter 13, please follow along as I read. Verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Shall we pray? Father God, writer of the word, you undergird your word, have empowered it through the Holy Spirit who delivered it to men. O Holy Spirit, illuminator of the word, get through to us today with your light, light of love. We need it. Really, really bad. Help this preacher to preach your truth. Help your children, our brothers and sisters in Christ, attain to this word, and let this community in which we live be affected by what we do with this word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter, the greater part of it, I've entitled Lessons for Lovers. Lessons for Lovers. No, this isn't a Valentine's Day. But there might be some elements to Valentine's Day and that focus in this. If you read further, not very far, you will see that. But certainly, it is the culmination of this book, was presented to us Jesus the Christ as the great high priest who has ushered in a new covenant, a new way from God to us, initiated in his blood, evidenced in us through the Holy Spirit, proven through faith, and now worked out in action. Chapter 13 will be faith in action for us. And the first lesson for lovers is this one. Let brotherly love continue. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul that I think are when they were given in 2 Timothy chapter 3 as a foreshadowing of the age in which we live. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. But know this. So obviously we need to know this. But know this. That in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, with no self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people, turn away. It seems this is a message for inside the church, not just outside the church. To point the finger at non-believers would be easy, but it seems that fellowship is part of this. And the bonds of fellowship are bound by true love. Let brotherly love continue. When the writer of Hebrews proclaims this, it is incumbent upon us to ask ourselves a question. And the question is this: has brotherly love even begun, that it may continue in you? Let me remind you of the seriousness of this small sentence. Chapter 13 doesn't stand on its own. As a matter of fact, the fifth and final warning in Hebrews was where we left off, and it was quite severe and it was quite striking to get our attention. Verse 28 of chapter 12, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that which cannot be shaken, guaranteed promise, let us have grace. Grace, unmerited favor of God, let us have His strength by which, listen, we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Both of those have fallen out of practice in the world in which we walk, and even amongst Christians by and large, whatever their denomination may be. Reverence. We're in the casual age. Come as you are, be as you want, it doesn't matter. Come to work, Jesus, hey, it doesn't matter. We'll just hang out together. Excuse me? Is that how reverence looks when you approach the King to worship the King? Is that how reverence acts? And with godly fear, by the way, it is even Jesus who was presented to us in the book of Hebrews as possessing godly fear as He walked as a man. Must be a valuable trait. And then this last sentence, chapter 12, for our God is a consuming fire. I don't know about you, but that sort of helps with reverence and godly fear for me. So then the very next sentence is, let brotherly love continue. That's our context. So I wonder if we should pay attention. So the author of Hebrews is now into his closing arguments, his closing statements. True faith is presented to us with five lessons. Five lessons that must be learned so that we can become true lovers. Lovers of others. And if you will, a love that is marked by faith. Remember, there was a faith thing. Since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, that we believe, don't be shaken. Revere God and let brotherly love continue. We need to learn, here it is, point one, the number one, that's all we're doing today, this sentence. And then we're going to do this sentence long term. Learn to love long term. Short term, easy or hard? Easy. Long term, hard. The first blush of love. I just love you guys. You're the greatest. Until you're not anymore. Maybe it's somebody else that's the greatest. No, greatest has nothing to do with it. Notice these simple words. Let brotherly love continue. Learn to love long term. Let. It's kind of an old King James kind of word. I have it here in my new King James. Some of you else might have other translations. But let me just point out something here. The key word to this is Philadelphia in the Greek. There's a city in the United States of America called Philadelphia. It is known as the city of, help me, brotherly love. It's called the city of brotherly love because that's the meaning of the word Philadelphia, loving the brethren. Let brotherly love continue. Philadelphia in the Greek has a definite article that precedes it. The Philadelphia. Or ha Philadelphia metneo. Let brotherly love continue. Who's your brother? Brotherly love has to do with familial love, or at least a friendship sort of love, this brother sort of thing. But family is certainly in focus. It is the glad part of the song that says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Long term. With the same ones you started with. Not always looking for new and better ones. Love. The imperative we have, metneo, which is to continue. It is a present active imperative in the Greek. I don't use that often, but I want to remind you that an imperative means a command. And what have I taught you about the commands of God? God's commands mean ultimately this. Come here. When you obey God's commands, you come near unto him, and you also show you love him. For his commands to us are not burdensome, but they're actually freeing. Let brotherly love continue, meaning to remain or abide. I like that old word. Love abide in you. Let it continue on. For indeed, we've asked, what is faith? And faith in us has to have an evidence. James says, faith without works is what? Alive or dead? Dead. Meaning, faith in God follows God's commands. As Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. It's really simple. Simple to do in a sense, hard to obey in the flesh. Especially since this long-term thing was added in this idea of continuance. Now, I asked myself the question when I was working on this for interpretation purposes. What does brotherly love mean? And how do we find that out? Well, let me say this. The context of the book that it is placed in is how you find it out in the first place. And we've had 12 chapters of preceding context, Word of God to look to. And then we will have the rest of this chapter to learn how to love as a following context. But let me give you a bit of review, since this is the last chapter in this book that we've been studying for over a year, I'm sure. I might have to go back and check. We might be close to 2 years. Is it two? Larry says two. Who would ever doubt Larry? Let me take you back just a little bit to chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. In a sense, we're asking, what does love look like? What does love act like in the context of Hebrews? And here we have this in verse 24 of chapter 10. Another let us. See, now we get a let brotherly love continue, but there was a former let. And let us consider one another. Now this means let us examine each other in even the most minute detail. Not to point out errors necessarily, but to really know one another. Let us consider one another. We know Larry keeps track of time better than Pastor Fred already today. Who's got those traits? We know some of you in here who can do math, and you know others in here who don't like to do math, and they shall remain nameless. Some even have taught math in the past and still need to teach, well, let's just leave that where it is. There are strengths, there are weaknesses, there are blooming, glowing things in our lives, and there are also other things in our lives that under examination, letting brotherly love continue, has a bit of an obstacle. And here we find, let us consider one another in order, what's the purpose of it? Now it's given to us, to stir up love. So I am here to pump you up on love. To stir you up. Yeah, Pastor, that's your job. No, this is a group command. This isn't a professional thing. Well, professionals love and the rest of us, well, we can hate your guts. No, that's not what it's saying. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love, and love then manifested and good works. Do what is good. I love how he leaves it general and then all of a sudden gets specific. Not forsaking assembling ourselves together. Isn't that an interesting thing? Let me tell you something about romantic love. That's not brotherly love, that's eros, that's different. But when you are faced with some of that kind of eros love, well, let's just call it romantic love. There's a question. Who do I want to be with now? So when that happens to you, there's only one answer. If you're the guy side of it, you only want to. I only want to be with you. Huh? That's Bay City Rollers. That's totally free. And probably shouldn't have not even been in the sermon. It's not in my notes, so probably not good. And if you're the gal, that's my guy. I want to be with him all the time. That's that side of love. Now we go to brothers. Brotherly love, family love, and we might say that in the early stages of growing up with brothers, and I know about brotherly love because I've got four brothers in my family and two sisters. Two sisters that beat me up. I was the next in line. Had to get tough. So, you know, there it is. And then four younger brothers. And I must say that growing up, there was some wee moments of conflict, you might say. When the little lads were off the reservation, you might say. Or was it me? I keep forgetting. But once that brotherly love matures, you want to be with your brothers. Now we bring that into the church. Your brothers and sisters are your God-made spiritual family that, by the way, manifests physically. Have you noticed? We're spiritual. You guys all showed up in the flesh today with your muck boots on, your snow boots on, and your snowflakes in your hair, and a little bit more weary from shoveling that driveway off than you were last time. That's in the flesh. That walks right in the door. Right? Hallelujah. Can't wait to be with my brothers. Can't wait to be with my sisters. Or can we? Let brotherly love continue. Stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's called church. And it even goes beyond church, but it definitely includes church. It's no less than church. But it is more. To be together. I just want to be with you. You know what? I keep showing up every Sunday. And most of you do too. You know what that is a sign of? Brotherly love. Continuing. Because I happen to know from prior testimony that I'm not the most easy guy to take. Who knew? And it's going to take some love for you to show up here and deal with me. And deal with each other. To assemble yourselves together. You don't want to forsake it, because that is the manner of some. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. That means the pattern of their life is, I love you guys, but if I see you, I see you. You know, let me just tell you this. Ladies, young girls, if you got a guy and you think you've got a thing, and he says, well, when I see you, I see you, run. He's a dud. No, you want this guy. He's there when he's not supposed to be there. He can't wait to be there. And he continues that way even when he finds out. Well, let me just break it kind of slow and easy. You're not the Barbie doll supreme. You're not the perfect woman. And that you actually get mad sometimes. Now let's see who comes back. And when you get married, there's a whole bunch of other things you find out you do different. But anyway, here comes the next part. Exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. As we see the day coming when love of self has risen to a pinnacle, which I don't know. I've only been alive almost 50 years now. But in those 50 years, I have seen a change in the church and in the world around me where people are definitely lovers of themselves rather than lovers of each other. And that is a sign of the end. And this says, especially as you see the day approaching. So I'm just saying, from my point of view, it's approaching. You see that little light in the tunnel? Yeah, that's it. The train is coming. Encourage one another. Examine one another. Stir up for assembly. Exhort to assembly. So much more as you see the day approaching. Let's look back a little bit further to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. But beloved, see how he treats them? With love. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. Listen to this. For God is not unjust to forget your work and what? Labor of love. Now listen. Which you have shown toward his name. See, love starts with God. It's a God-centered thing. It's a name-centered thing. Who God is in your life and what you believe about him and what your relationship is with him is going to be reflected in your relationships with his people. You know, there is a real scary thing with if in your mind you say, you know, I like Jesus, I love God, but I don't like Christians. People say that, you know, I don't want to go to church because church is filled with what? How did you know the answer to that? The church is filled with hypocrites. Guess what? From pulpit to pew, you're right. But you gotta love me. And I gotta love you. Not leaving you in it, but going through it and out of it. Everyone will play that hypocrite at some point. Can I have an amen? If not, take heed. Those of you who think you stand, take heed, the Bible says, lest ye fall. You will be. Or maybe it just, you haven't had a good brother in your life to exhort you. Oh, yes. The exhortation. Where's that in Christian relationship? Oh, let's get together. I just have an exhortation for you. Like, where do you want this to happen? Not in public, I hope. See, that's how far we've fallen away from Christian love. That's how far we have gotten from what it really means. I know my brothers. I know Greg, he's sitting up there. I sure hope he's listening. I know Hines. I know Zach. I know Isaac. And they know me. And sometimes when we get together around church people, I'm afraid they're going to tell you about me. But in reality, some of you have now been with me 13 years since I've been at this church. You know me more than you used to know me. When I first arrived, oh, you pastor. You know, Moses, the Apostle Paul, Pastor Fred. You shouldn't do that to pastors, but you do it. And then you find out, oh, he's just a regular guy that's been called into the ministry, and he's working his way back to the Lord as well in the sense of growing up. Your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Look at the ongoing, continuous nature of that. You've ministered to the saint. What is your labor of love? You're a ministry to the people, their brothers and sisters in life, and you're keeping on doing it. When we say, I believe, I believe, I believe, that means I minister, minister, minister. We desire that each of you show the same diligence. But come on. Come on, Pastor Fred. Don't you know about anything about love? If somebody tells you you have to love, and you know, then it's not real love. Because you're like being forced into it. That's straight from the pit. Satan knows nothing about love. God knows everything about love. And that's what God said. So don't contradict it. Love by command. It's like pray by command. Well, I shouldn't have to be told to pray. I shouldn't have to be commanded to pray. Yes, you do. Why? Because you're a hypocrite. You're a failure. You quit too easily. And you need to read these commands again and again as time goes on. Learn to love long term. Let brotherly love continue past what you find out about each other. With a heart toward ministering to them. You know, I learned something working in the grocery store. I'm almost 50 and my boss was 23. Praise Jesus. And a wonderful boss. And what made her a wonderful boss, not that she was perfect, but when I would ask her, can I make a suggestion, she would listen. And I learned again that even in the workplace, if we want the workplace to go well, we don't say, well, I need to find the perfect workplace where I feel comfortable. Is that what people say about choosing church? I just want a church where I feel comfortable. Well, don't come here. That's not my job. I gotta preach on let love continue. And it's not going to be comfortable. And you've got to let love continue with some exhortation and some stirring up. By the way, you know what that stir up thing was in Hebrews 10? You know the direct translation? It's spur on. You know what spurs feel like? You know where they go? Yeah, right here in the short ribs. I'm telling you, that's motivational, but not pleasant. So here we are, learning how to do this. In diligence, to be commanded by God is a pleasure for us and sometimes a necessity for us. It's like prayer. Don't pray because you feel like it. Pray until you feel like it. Don't love because you feel like it. Love until you feel like it. And you will be loving. Do these things and minister, and you will find out that that ministry blooms love. Show diligence and the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promise. Don't be sluggish. A love slug. I made that up myself. I can't get the image out of my head. A little slime, you know. Who wants to be the slimy guy that leads the trail? When are they coming over? I don't know. They said they loved us and they're going to come see us often. Where are they? I don't know. They'll get here. The slug bug. Slow. Okay, I got to get away from that. It's ruining my sermon. Let's go back a little farther. Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. We don't find the word love straight up here, but we do have this in the very early stages. It's a message back to the Hebrews and their relationship with God, but it is an exposé of the heart. What were their hearts like, and what should they watch out for, if you will, so they don't become a love slug? Beware, brethren, verse 12, Hebrews 3. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. See, not drawing near, pulling away. But exhort one another, there's that word again, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin and pull away from God. When you pull away from God, you're going to pull away from each other. For we have become partakers of Christ, listen, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Like when Israel was supposed to take God's word that he was going to go before them into the promised land and that this was doable. And they said, no, they're giants, it's not doable. Let me bring it into love. It's a hard issue because God says, let brotherly love continue, and we say, that's impossible. You don't know, Lord, you don't know. You don't know the people in this church. You don't know what they're like. And I know that enters people's minds because I also do marriage counseling. Oh, you don't know. I meet with them alone first. They get to talk once. I just let them talk. And they tell me how bad it is. The other comes in, they tell me how bad it is. And at the end, I say, okay, that's your one time to talk. You're not going to say another bad word about your wife or your husband in my presence until I say you can. You want to continue counseling? By the way, I don't counsel a lot. And then I make them write down 5 things that when they first were getting ready to get married, that they loved about that person. And that's their first assignment. True love. True love remembers the good stuff and overlooks a multitude of sins. See, real love leads others to trust God's promises that says we can love because we've been saved by him. And just as we have a kingdom waiting for us that God will give us, just like he gave Israel the promised land and went before and defeated that enemy that was a giant, that we can go through and finish love all the way home. It's a yes or it's a no. We keep going or we don't. Obedience leads others to God's promises, and then you're blessed with his rest. When you work on love in your marriage is restful rather than in turmoil. When you appreciate how God made them, and it's different from you just being a man and a woman. And by the way, there's only two. Gender number one. God made man first. Ish. And from Ish, he took and made Isha. And he called his name woman, for she was taken out of the man. So you want to know what a woman is? She's what God took out of the man to make a helpmeet for him. Okay? Wasn't in my sermon either. That's all for free today. Gives me 5 extra minutes. Here we go. In truth, the promises that we can have as a church, the promises that we can have in the Lord if we will lead one another to trust God's promise, that we can let love continue. See, hate hardens the heart, just like with Israel, and leads the rest of the brothers and sisters to stay in the wilderness and not enter the rest of the promised land. In Hebrews, there is a primary example of love. And you're ahead of me in knowing who gave this example. Jesus, who came as a man, though he be God, and lived completely as a man, he showed us our example for brotherly love. We step back just a little bit again now in Hebrews to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. God has been telling us in Hebrews in the beginning portion that now he is speaking through his son. In former days, he'd spoken through the fathers and through the prophets, but now he speaks to us through his son, who is greater than the angels. He is higher than they. He is called son. And in chapter 2, verse 10, we remember, for it was fitting for him, verse 10, it was fitting, which means appropriate and right, for Jesus, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Now stop there. This means he who was the self-existent Son in eternity past, who was creator of this world, it was appropriate for him to bring many sons of glory to make the captain of their salvation, that's Jesus, the captain of our salvation, perfect, meaning complete, or even grown up, through sufferings. Through sufferings. What sufferings are we talking about? In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Meaning he took the wrath of God on himself. What is love? Sacrificial suffering. Oh, Pastor, you just hit it. That's me in church. I suffer here. It's too much. Grow up. Jesus had to be completed in his human growth through the sufferings which he suffered, not just on the cross, but all the way to it. You know what it was like being perfect, dealing with the hypocrites? It's one thing when one hypocrite says, I can't go to church because they're full of hypocrites, which of course makes him a hypocrite because he doesn't come to church. But it's another that Jesus, who never missed church, tells them not to miss church, and they call him a hypocrite. That suffering, that's long suffering dealing with him. How many times did he say to his disciples, how long will I be among you? Oh, ye of little, raise your hand. That's us. We don't have the faith to follow Jesus in love if we don't have the faith to follow him, to love our brothers who he saved by his suffering. And doing so made him grow up, and it will for us. Notice how he uses the word sanctification, which means Christian growth, being set apart for God's use. Verse 11, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of what? One. Ooh. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one. Husband, wife, God, one. Jesus, his church, leadership, one. All one. There is one body, one family, one spirit indwells all. And it tells us for this reason, he, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them, what? Brethren. Do you know Jesus called you a brother? And girls, that means you too. A sister in Christ, a brother in Christ. You're in the family. He's not ashamed of you. If anybody should be ashamed of the other people they go to church with, it was Jesus. For they're all shameful sinners. But he's not ashamed to call us brothers. Wow. Saying, listen to this, verse 12, I will declare your name to my brethren. That's his ministry to us in the midst of the assembly. Listen, I will sing praise to you, God the Father. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am, Jesus said, right out of prophecy. And the children whom God gives me, not only are you brothers and sisters in Christ, you are part of the family of God, the children of Jesus brought in through his sufferings to become a band of brothers. What makes these guys who go to war together so close forevermore? What even happens to the guys who don't go to war and they train together? You ever get tired, ladies, of hearing your husband talk about basic training? Yeah, I had one, yes. The rest of you are lying. No, not really. But we talk about how we suffered. What they made us do. What we had to achieve. And we were drawn together. Because we had to depend on each other and we had to go together. And if one failed, everyone failed. And that has to be brought into the church. That's why Paul uses military terms sometimes to describe us in the church. Put on the armor of Christ. But I don't like armor. Well, it's figurative anyway. It's spiritual. It's actually heavier than armor. To love like that, that bond that goes on. I can call Jordan and he's still there. My buddy. I can call Chili Mac, or usually Chili Mac calls me. His name's John MacArthur, by the way. Not the one you think, and I'm thinking another guy. Anyway, those buddies, those friends, that's love. Let me give you a few things from Peter and then give you a few helps to start loving. If there ever was a guy who thought he was good at loving, it was Peter. If there was a guy who thought he was better than the other disciples, it was Peter. He even said it out loud, which is also Peter. He said, Lord, though everyone else betray you, I will not, even unto death. Good thing you have me, Lord. Sometimes we get that way in our Christian walk. Oh, good thing you have me. I'm the strong one. All these other wimps, I guess they can come along if they have to. But you got me. I'll stand with you. Before the cock crows three times, you'll betray me. Thrice. But when you have been restored, strengthen your brothers, Christ told him. So Peter writes 1 Peter on the other side of his hypocrisy. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, listen, in sincere love of the brethren. You're obeying the truth, purified through the Spirit, evidence in loving of the brethren sincerely. That means not faking it. You know, you can fake love. This isn't fake love. Love one another fervently with a pure heart, he goes on to say. Fervency. That means hot, not cold. It means with intensity, not haphazardly. It means to be zealous in love for one another. And one thing I've learned about many of you in this church, I can call you and you'll be there. I know you're going to be there. Because I know you love me. And you need to know if you need me, I'll be there. First Peter 2:17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. 1 Peter 3, verse 8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. This is the guy that said, all of these guys might fall by the wayside, but not me. Be courteous. Bragging isn't courteous. I think I read that 1 Corinthians 13, I believe it was. Is not puffed up. Verse 9, 1 Peter 3, not returning evil for evil, what? Or reviling for reviling, what? But blessing, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Woo! Okay, you got to practice this. So if they say, huh, I'll say, I hope the Lord blesses you. May the Lord richly bless you. You haven't even thought like that yet, have you? How am I going to deal with someone cursing me? How about a brother that does so? Oh, you don't think that happens? Well, then you have not gone to church long enough. It will happen. No, I didn't peek through your windows. I know it happens at home. Sometimes stuff comes out. No amens? Okay. All of a sudden I thought I was alone. See, honey, it's not just me. First Peter 4:8. And above all things. And above all things. I wonder what that means. I think it means all, above all things. Have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable, we'll get to that in a couple weeks, to one another, oh, without grumbling. I just stopped a sermonette, say praise the Lord. Let me give you a few helps. A few helps before we go to the Lord's table, the elements that just sit here behind me. These elements that remind us of the suffering of Christ. These elements that proclaim our unity in Christ as brothers and sisters. I give you these, I hope, helpful things. What stops us from loving long term? I ask myself. The first one we've already talked about a little bit. Differences. Number one, differences. We are not all the same. Stop trying to make everyone else just like you. You know, I found out through the sanctification of marriage that it's best to let my wife organize her kitchen, which she uses the way she thinks makes sense, rather than the way I think makes sense. Does that sound profound to you? Or does that sound like you? Some of you can't stand it. It's got to be, if I'm going to even touch one spoon in there, spoon has to be where I expect a spoon to be. And how could you put the spoon over here? Get over yourself. That's just differences. Learn to enjoy those differences. That's called love. You know what? That was a fantastic meal, honey. Who cares where the spoon came from? Right? That's how stupid it was. And yes, that was me. Hopefully, I've grown out of most of that. Thank you, dear. Even if you have to lie, help me. Because you know, the more I get to know you folks, the less normal you are. Right? What is normal? It's normal that we're all different. Now, I don't mean sinfully different. That's another message, and it's coming. Disputes are the second thing that stops us from loving long term. Have you ever had a fight with someone? And the whole congregation says, Amen. You've all fought with someone. Say, well, I never did yell at them. Yeah, I'm talking on the inside here, baby, as well as on the outside. If you're in a fight with me, you'll know it. I'm very loud. But some of you, you're just like that powder keg. The fuse has been lit. You're just sitting there. You look like it's okay, like nothing happened, but that fuse is... It kind of says something like this. Just you wait. Just you wait. Just you wait. Dispute. You got to love through these things. And it starts by this. Listen. Listen to what they're saying and then take time to cool down and think about what they said and then try and settle it in love. Because you can succeed in love because it's a command, even among brothers. You know what Baptists are famous for? Oh, somebody says, oh, I'm holding to the Bible. Oh, it might be true. I think it is. Some circles. You know, Baptists are good at? Oh, well, you know, they have good potlucks with coffee. You know what Baptists are known for? Church splits. How many Baptist churches are there in Little Lewistown? This church has been here over 115 years. Most of them come from here. And then they split again. And they split again. Differences. Disputes. Above all things, fervently love one another, which means, tell me if I'm stretching this, settle your disputes with love. And you're not settled until you're lovingly together. Because if you have a dispute and you say, well, we'll just have to agree to disagree. Have you heard this? And then one goes like this. and walks out, that's not a settled dispute in love. That is an unsettled dispute and a difference unrequited. Which then creates the third problem, which is this: distance. And by the way, you will get more differences noticed and more disputes when you have more distance between believers. It's potluck Sunday. Why do we have them? Because we're Baptists. If we don't know why we're doing it, let's stop. I know why I want us to do it, but I don't want this to be it. I want it to be a facilitator of something else, and that is, I want you together with someone else, particularly that you maybe haven't had spent much time with, so you can talk to them as you eat. You know, it gives you something to do with your hands. And then you might get to be the one that spills on their shirt, which always breaks the ice for everyone else, not the one who spilled on their shirt. But you get to see people normal, and that's to facilitate us to want to do that more in our homes, at work. I meet with Mike down at the theater, right, Mike? Why? Because it works. He's got a little downtime between. We sit in the office, smell of popcorn all around us. It's pretty good. That's called being together. Fellowship. Love takes time. Whoever said being apart in a romantic relationship makes the heart grow what? Fonder. There's the second lie from the pit today. No, it does not. It simply means there's distance between you, and that needs to be remedied, and right now. Long-distance relationships? El stupido. How can two become one and not be together? I'm just saying. And how can the church be one body and not be gathered together? And not care to be together? It takes time. It takes time. It takes time, which we go right back to sacrifice. But I don't want to take some of my time, Pastor. I like not having them. Sunday's enough, right? Right? Wrong. Let me tell you something. We're getting near the end. End of something. If we're not on the cusp of the end times, this is at least an entire shakeup of the entire power structure of the world. If you don't understand that, read history. It's there in front of us. And if this church intends to stand, you will not stand unless you know each other and you know how goofball different you all are, and you've learned to love that. And learned that those very things are the things you need and that complement you, and in doing that, we'll stay together. If not, they're going to kill us. They will divide us and conquer us because we're lovers of ourselves. We're not willing to spend any time on anybody else. And that leads me to number four. It's not on your notes. I thought of this later, and I thought this is one really needs to be handled. Danger. What stops us from loving long term? The danger of love. You didn't realize that was dangerous? Love is dangerous. Why? Because if you're really going to love and you're really going to know each other, it means you're really going to have to be vulnerable with one another. That's why I told you earlier about not being good on with math. I need somebody around me who's good on math. I'm a big picture guy. That's why God gave me a detail wife. I'm like, look at this, baby. We can do this. This can be done. Yes. Double yes. And I can sell it too. And then she says, well, Freddie, that's what she calls me. sometimes Pastor Freddie. Have you thought about this, 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 and this that we'd have to do that? I'm like, oh, man. I mean, look at the big picture. And for a church to run, you can't just have a big picture pastor without somebody to put the brakes on me. I'm supposed to be that. But I need other people who are different than me to come alongside me and help me. And you need it in your life too. That's why God gave you, whoever's married. Is your wife exactly like you? Raise your hand. See, no hands. Let's go on to the women. Women are here. Is your husband just like you? Raise your hand. See, no hands. I settle my point. But there is danger for your wife to know you stink at something. Can I have an amen, men? And it's dangerous for you ladies to know and let your husband know that you stink at some things too. And some of it is because you're afraid that they'll find out. You don't want to be vulnerable. You don't want them to find that out. And you don't want to be hurt. See, if I tell you all these things about me, now you can hurt me with them. Well, you used to think that Pastor Fred was pretty good, but he just told us last Sunday, and I'm telling you, he's no saint. No, I'm a saint having been made one by Christ, not by me. My standing is holiness. My sanctification is in process, just like yours. You're not complete yet, which has been the message of Hebrews. Teleos, teleon, again and again, till it comes to completion. Danger of being vulnerable. So if you can't share those things and have it right there on your sleeves for those you love, then somebody else will kill you. Or you'll have this life where you have no one. People are around you, but no one can touch you. You're safe, but you're unloved. And you're not loving. And you're alone. And you're going to die alone. And it means you probably don't know Christ either. I've told you this saying that I've been working on my entire life. It is this saying. Set yourself up to be what? Hurt. Set yourself up to be hurt as many times as possible in this life. That means you share with these people things about you, especially your brothers and sisters. Of course you're a sinner. So are we. Say it out loud. I'm struggling with this. It's kicking my butt. Will you help me? Will you pray with me? Will you check on me? No. I don't have anything to do with people like you. Get out of here then. What are we doing? Yeah, one sentence. One sentence. Let brotherly love continue. It means it has to start and keep on going. What is Philadelphia freedom? Philadelphia freedom is the freedom to love no matter what. And no matter what happens, I'm going to keep on loving. I can't stop loving you. If you can't stop loving me and you can't stop loving each other, then we've got something. Otherwise, we really actually have nothing. And it's all a charade. I'm done now. Let's pray. Father God, this was a tough one. Oh, Jesus, what do we even know of your suffering? please let us be like Paul, that we might know and fill up in ourselves what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. May we, like your brothers and sisters, Jesus, sacrificially love one another and continue on until we are with you. And for that, we just have one thing to ask. Help. Help us, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.